Well, I'll tell you what, we celebrate Women's Day all year round.
There you go. That's good. That's
every
good.
Day.
So we really do. You know, we promote and celebrate women all year long. Mm-hmm.
Hello and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner here with Matt Anderson. Today we're joined by Patty Phillips. She's the CEO of Women Leaders in College Sports. She's going to talk about her journey to becoming CEO, the organization itself, their annual conference, and more. We're here today with Patty Phillips. Patty, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for joining us here today. Can we start with just a little bit of your background?
You bet. I have been fortunate enough to work in the business of sports and leadership as a woman. I mean, for my entire career. So, you know, what is it, 25 years now, which is unusual. And again, I feel really blessed and fortunate to do that. Grew up loving sports. I was an active young girl, wanting to play more sports and get more involved. And so, but ran around, played football with my brother, you know, climbed trees, did all that. And then, went to school on a college basketball scholarship, went to a small school, ended up coaching, a small college basketball and volleyball for 8 years. Had a little short stint at the NCAA before it moved to Indy. And then since then, I've been in downtown Kansas City working in the nonprofit arena. First 11 years at the Kansas City Sports Commission on the women's programming side, and then almost 10 years here. So, I've had a really, and again, I feel really fortunate that I have been able to work in my area of passion, which is women's sports and leadership.
Yeah, and then, Patty, along the lines of the women leaders in college sports, you said you've been with them for 10 years. Can you kind of give us maybe a background of the organization and kind of your time there?
You bet. Well, actually, April 1 is my 10-year anniversary, so that's hard to believe. It's flown by. You know, I was a member, which was then NACWA. I had been a member ever since I'd worked at the NCAA, which was 1997, 98, or no, wait. It was 97 to 99, actually. Okay. So I'd been a member, continued to be a member, even when I was not in collegiate athletics, working at the sports commission. I went to the, quote, NACWA convention every year. Loved the energy of just, you know, this women's event, women's leadership. And, it was good connect for us to stay tethered to collegiate sports. In Kansas City, we hosted the Big 12 Women's Basketball Championship and the men, but of course we were involved on the women's side, mm-hmm. Which, by the way, is coming back to Kansas City this March, and we're excited to be involved with that again.
Nice.
Okay.
So I knew of NACWA. Then when the opportunity came up to apply for the job, it was in Wilmington, North Carolina at the time. I questioned whether or not, I wanted to make that move, and then it was kind of determined that anyone who got the job would probably move it. It was a really small organization then, didn't have a lot of local or corporate support. And so it had small staff, so it was movable. So fast forward, I was honored to get the job and then put a business plan together, moved it to Kansas City. And it's not that I wouldn't have moved somewhere, but I'll tell you, Kansas City is a special city, mm-hmm. as far as its support of collegiate sports, women's sports, and women's leadership. And I honestly don't know that I've seen another city with that level of support. And I knew I could get support to help run and grow the organization here. And we've had tons of, literally hundreds and probably hundreds of thousands of pro bono hours from our local partners here.
Wow.
We're also, the hub of sports architecture firms. It's centrally located. So, and a very good friend that had been at Fleshman Hillard started her own marketing agency, Global Prairie, that jumped on board early with us and helped us, with rebrands. And so I just had a network of support that I knew could help us. So we moved it here, and really have seen, obviously a lot of growth since then. And Kansas City has embraced us. We're a national organization. I don't spend as much time in Kansas City doing, a lot of the programming in Kansas City that I would like, but we're in the heart of Kansas City and what's called the Crossroads, We have a huge mural on the side of our building, which I'll have to send you a picture of.
Absolutely.
It's one of the top five most Instagrammable murals in Kansas City. It says strong women lift each other up. And so that's really cool. So, our journey here in Kansas City has been wonderful. And then, you know, as we grew, and I'm sure we were going to get to this, you know, the name, you know, had become really, I think, prohibitive and or just not, it just didn't say who we were anymore. Mm-hmm. It was NACWA, the National Association of Collegiate Women Athletics Administrators. And by the way, last year we celebrated our 40th anniversary, which we were really excited to do. We created a whole virtual 40th anniversary website. So anyone that wants more information on the evolution of this organization, go to our website and find that, and it will live on forever. And we honored all of our past presidents and past executive directors.
Nice.
So the history is really important. You know, you don't get to where you are without those that have come before you.
Right.
So we certainly acknowledge that. And, you know, and as we were going through kind of this growth and talking to some of the women that had been involved over the years, they were in agreement that it might be time to change the name. The name did what it was supposed to do at that time. But as we were evolving, and quite frankly, the industry was evolving and conversations around women in leadership were evolving, we felt like we needed to be on the, you know, at least part of that conversation and hopefully on the front end a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so we went through a 2-year process of research and working again with Global Prairie here with focus groups about, you know, what is the purpose of the organization? What's the perception of the organization? Mm-hmm. And so, long story short, after a lot of conversation, we landed on the name that we have now. We do not use an acronym anymore. We shorten it to Women Leaders. And you know, as you all know, in our industry, there's acronyms everywhere you
yes,
turn.
Yes, there is. Yep.
Which
yep.
is great. And we, you know, we didn't want to be that. We wanted to make sure that we stood out. And so it's purposefully a little bit longer, but when you say the name, you know exactly who we are and what we do. And that was one of our goals.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got the name now and you brought it to the right location. Can you go a little bit into the goals of the organization?
You bet. Interestingly enough, you know, NACWA was formed years ago as more of an advocacy organization, and it was much needed 40 years ago, right after Title IX was implemented. You know, the NCAA was taking over the women's championship organization, which was called AIAW. Women wanted to make sure they still had a voice and were a part of kind of the leadership with that. And so they had created an organization where they could coalesce around these really important topics and strategize and make plans for inclusion. And they did that. And so, you know, and actually a couple of years after I got in, we actually changed our mission statement from the premier advocacy organization, or actually it was the advocacy organization, to the premier leadership organization that develops, advances, and connects leaders. And so, you know, what we say is we advocate by advancing women leaders. We believe cultural changes happen when you have a diverse leadership. So, you know, we're not an advocacy organization like the Women's Sports Foundation and like other really powerful and needed organizations. We're not really a letter writing organization. Mm-hmm. We develop and advance leaders. And so that's who we are, what we do. We do that in many different ways. We work with search firms. We work with presidents, chancellors. We've understood the search process. So we help women in searches. We prepare on all sides of that. We have all sorts of leadership programs for women at all levels so that they can get the competency and training that they need. But the connection piece is important. You know, there's been what's called a boys club that's out there, and which is great. And really it's where guys have kind of taught the next generation these intangibles through conversation and mentoring. And what we've done is created the Girls Club. And by the way, we have lots of guys in the Girls Club, and they're more than welcome.
Yep.
And we have so many male champions that have been a real important part of this. But we have created this club now, this organization, where we connect each other for many different reasons, not only just to get jobs, but for support, for best practices, for insights. And so really those three things are ultimately what we're about, and that is advancing, developing, and connecting women leaders.
Yeah, and that's definitely kind of to elaborate on what you said there too, Patty, is Daktronix has been, you know, a sponsor of women leaders for several years. And it was, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago when I came to the annual convention for the first time. And I remember you saying that you're excited I came down because you didn't want that perception out there that, you know, that men aren't welcome to come to these types of events, that they are welcome.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yes. And first of all, I want to thank Daktronix because your support over the years through all the iterations has meant the world to us. And so it really has. You guys have been great partners and we so appreciate it and our members appreciate it. And yes, to the second one as well, we have, you know, men that come speak on panels. We have male members that are involved. We, you know, all up and down. And we actually have guys that just attend that aren't even partners and sponsors. Some guys that are want to know who the women are because they are wanting to hire more women. Others that just want to be part of it. And so all are welcome, actually. But we're all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
So we never wanted to, and that's one of the things we wanted to get away from. It's the women's organization in that we understand there are differences, and we can just look across the landscape. There's differences in opportunities for men and women. It just, so we could have a whole nother podcast on that, but we don't need to.
Yeah,
because
right.
The research is out there, right? Mm-hmm. And not only in our industry, but in corporate America, pro sports. But we also know that we can't get there without doing it together. And so from the get-go, we have had guys that have been involved in many different ways that have helped advise us, that are at part of the programming, that help women in searches. You know, we have shirts that we send out to guys, you know, that say, "I champion women leaders." When we did the name change, the slogan was, "We are women leaders." And so those are the female shirts, and we still have some of those, and that's a tagline. But,
yep.
You know, we certainly are welcome to everyone, but we just know that we also have a place where women can come together and share stories and kind of coach each other up from the female perspective. But that doesn't mean that we are shutting off all other perspectives and that we don't want men involved, because we certainly do.
Yep. And I kind of mentioned the annual convention, and we can maybe start there because I know you do a lot more than just the annual convention. But
yeah,
I was not able to make it this last year, but it was, like you said, it was your anniversary that you celebrated. Can you maybe just think back a little bit to how did it go this past year?
It was fantastic. It was in Phoenix. You know, I'll tell you my highlight. We really wanted to, in a different way, celebrate kind of our history and all of our past presidents and past executive directors. I'm the third, quote, executive director. We changed my title to CEO in my first year. And the first one was volunteer. So really, I was the second one that actually it was a full-time job. So okay. We've come a long way. I mean, and really wanted to honor that. And so, you know, our new logo, when we changed the name, the flame has been a part of us for the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that was important and intentional because this organization has always really exemplified women who light the way for others and then pass the torch. So we actually built a torch that lights up. It's freaking fantastic.
And, that's cool.
We had all our past presidents, up on the stage during the Nike Lifetime Luncheon, and we gave them medals of leadership, 40th anniversary commemorative medals of leadership. We had one past president from each decade kind of come forth and read what was going on with the organization during that time, kind of a 90-second, here's what's happening. And then we literally passed the torch down. I think out of all those, I think out of a possible 32, including all past presidents and executive directors, in the first couple of years, a president stayed on for more than 1 year. I think out of 32 possible, we probably had 24. So
oh,
we had
wow.
really good numbers.
Yeah.
Pass the torch. And then the final one, which was our president-elect, who was transitioning at that time, Jackie McWilliams, walked the torch down to the audience, and everyone in the audience had tea lights on their tables that said, "You are a force," and "Force for Change" and "Force for the Future" was our theme. And everyone stood up and lit their tea lights, including every man.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Kit Morris was right there in the front because it was the Nike luncheon, and he was up with his tea light. And so they're another longtime partner. And so that was the highlight. You know, it really is a celebratory, you know, gosh, what a great history we've had. But guess what? We're all part of this future moving forward, men and women, and especially the young women in the room. And now, you know, we talk about our pipeline. There are so many young women that want to be involved in our collegiate athletics. And now they're actually saying at a young age, hey, I want to be an AD or commissioner. I think I can do that. Mm-hmm. And there was a time where, you know, there wasn't enough women in those roles for young women to think that they could do that. There's this notion of you have to see it to be it. And so it was a really special, event. I thought it went really well. We had great keynotes and, it was really fun. Of course, Phoenix is a wonderful location. So that was awesome as well.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, you know, we had just celebrated our 50th a while back, but part of it is celebrating, like you're saying, you guys did too, though, was the past, recognizing how you got to where you are today, but then it's also at some point, you know, you gotta look forward and say what's coming up next, because it's important to acknowledge everything, but then you also have to kind of give this we're not done, we're not over yet type feeling. Is there anything then that, I mean, you did the passing the torch is a great way of kind of showing that. Is there anything that you took from this that you're looking forward to doing this next year at all? Or is it too soon to give any spoilers?
You mean as far as themes for this year's convention, which we're in Boston, mm-hmm. October 11th through the 13th. So, yeah, no, we're not ready to roll that out. But I can just tell you know, this theme of empowering everyone to step up and be their own force for change, mm-hmm. is important. And so that obviously kind of is stays with us through everything we do this year. But we're super excited for Boston. It's a different kind of hub. We're excited to be, you know, we're working on partnering with some of the business schools in the area, not only Sloan MIT, but the Wharton Business School at Penn. You know, the woman that was just named to run Wharton Business School is an African-American woman, Dr. Erica James, who spoke at our Atlanta convention, and she was at Emory Business School. So we're super excited to be connected with her. We're hoping to get her back in. But either way, what an exciting, move. We have a huge Women of Color initiative. And so we're doing some cool things around that in Boston as well. And we're super excited. We're starting to put everything together for that currently. So we'll be rolling some stuff out soon.
Exciting.
Okay. Yeah. And I was going to say, Matt's been to these convention before. I haven't been to one. I was just kind of curious of what the layout of the convention is. You said you have a keynote speaker, you have some certain initiatives. Is that kind of what you have, is certain keynotes coming in and different types of sessions? Is that what the convention feels like?
Well, that's a great question. We actually have five keynotes, kind of. Five general sessions, I should say.
Okay.
Three of them are really structured so that we have keynote time. And we have big names, and they're super empowering, and it's really cool. And then the other two of those, and Daktronics, by the way, sponsors our opening general session, mm-hmm. which we can announce today, since this is a Daktronics podcast, that Robin Roberts is our Sunday keynote, which is the Daktronics session. Which is super cool. And so good point. Then the other two are luncheons, the Nike Lifetime Luncheon. And so we give some lifetime awards, and then we'll have some type of other speaker or award. Last year, we recognized the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team, the 99ers, and Julie Foudy was part of that.
Okay.
The Nike Luncheon, then we have our Administrator of the Year Awards on Tuesday. And that's where we recognize our women. And so we don't have another keynote speaker, but our women are recognized, and there's videos on them, and it's super inspiring and empowering as well. So the two luncheons, and then we have three other kind of keynotes. And then around that, we have all sorts of breakouts and sessions. We have three different types. We have power panels, which are what traditionally folks would call kind of a panel. But we are really intentional about content and structuring with those.
Okay.
We have kind of TED Talk sessions where they're quicker. They're like 15 minutes, one person speaks. So there's three within like an hour block under the same topic, so you get different perspectives.
Nice.
And then we have kind of breakouts, which are more kind of diving in, conversational, more interactive. So we have three types in general of programming to hopefully we kind of hit every type of learning style. And then we also have an executive leadership track where the programming is leadership focused only, not industry related. So leadership competencies around negotiation or mindset or culture, as opposed to hiring and firing coaches, you know, NILs, important stuff in our industry. So we have that kind of stuff in our other programming, and then we have lots of general leadership information, and most of our keynotes are general leadership. So we're the leadership organization. Obviously, we create spaces for industry topics, okay. But we also want to make sure you're getting the general leadership top information that's going to make you a better leader.
Nice.
And, you know, coaching up millennials, these are all issues that leaders talk about. So we feel like there's a lot of spaces in our industry to get industry stuff, and that's important. And then we make sure we're also providing just general leadership content.
Yeah, and you talked about, you know, the keynote speakers that come in. And when the one that I went to a couple of years ago when it was in Atlanta.
Diana Nyad.
Yes, Diana Nyad. I was going to say, that was one hell of a story she told. It was.
Oh, she's unbelievable. Oh. Yeah, and so, yeah, she is unbelievable. Really an inspiring, just unbelievable, you know, what she's done. So if people don't know Diana Nyad, Google her. It's going to make you want to take a swim for sure. Yeah, she was really just a great story, super inspiring. And, you know, her story. And so these stories translate to all of us, men and women, mm-hmm. right? Like just mindset and the power of will and setting a goal and not letting other people tell you can't do it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's really hard, you know, and what you do to kind of power through those instances. The messages are always transferable. But we do like to bring in women to give these messages, and so they're a little more relatable and on some sense. But they're certainly transferable to everybody.
Yep, I just remember hearing her struggles and stuff she did from swimming from Cuba to Florida, and it was one of those things when you got done, you were so motivated, but you looked around, you're like, all right, now your problems, the things that we run into, you know, don't seem like such a big deal after you hear the type of stuff that she had went through. And I go to quite a few different conferences and hear different speeches, but that is one that always has stuck in my head. It was a combination of a great story and her doing an amazing job of telling it. Like sometimes I feel like people just aren't as good speakers, but when you can match up an incredible story like that with how you tell it, it truly left a mark on me.
Yeah. I remember when you got back, I think I asked you how the conference was, and that's the first thing you told me about was that story. So it's amazing. It sticks with you.
Yep.
It sure does.
So then we talked about a little about this past year's convention and then possibly what may be coming up here this next year too. If people are looking to be, I would say to either be a member or to be more engaged with your organization, what are some things that they can do to help out?
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, first of all, so we are a membership organization. So we focus on how to add value, first of all, to our members. But overall, what we're doing, we believe, is adding value to the industry, obviously. But we have all sorts of what we've really been working on the last couple of years is enhancing and increasing our virtual offerings. So we've talked a little bit about our in-person events. I mean, the convention's over 1,000 people now. It is really an inspiring event for everybody, quite frankly, and it's a different feel. We also have leadership institutes, many across the country all year long. And so we've been doing those for years, which is great. And those are best-in-class events. And as I mentioned, what we've been really working on to enhance, continue to enhance, is our virtual leadership offerings for members at all levels. And so we have these really cool membership circles where people in certain categories of our industry, whether it's women in football or women in student-athlete development or whatever it might be, they have their own kind of circles and they get on these cool Zoom calls and they share resources. So they're connecting all year long. Those have been really successful. But we're also launching kind of a Learn and Lift. Well, it's a Learn and Lift video series this month where there'll be 20-minute videos and learnings from a professional in some topic area, and it will come with kind of supplements and handouts to enhance conversations with teams, and it will live on our website for our members. We have a lot of video content. We're actually now recording all of our keynotes and really high-level speakers from our convention so that content can be accessed later. We have our Career Connect platform, which is really a job search and job matching platform. And that's been super successful. So women that do want to advance or get different jobs, we can search them and via kind of keywords. So we get tons of hirers reaching out to us, which is great, that want to hire women. And mm-hmm. they want to hire women and women of color. So we now have this whole database where we go in and we just kind of pull the list according to keywords. And that's been really helpful for folks in the hiring processes. And so that's a huge enhancement for our women that are wanting to advance as well. So, yeah, we have lots of offerings for our members and our membership team here. For new members, we encourage them to give us a call if they want to know kind of how to access all this stuff. We've got a great team that can help them get in the loop.
And International Women's Day is coming up. So are you guys doing anything special for that to help them get involved as well?
Well, I'll tell you what, we celebrate Women's Day all year round.
There you go. That's good.
Day That's
every
good. Day.
So we really do. You know, we promote and celebrate women all year long. Mm-hmm. But, of course, we're excited about International Women's Day. We're following along, and we're in alignment with the International Women's Day Association.
Okay.
And they're encouraging everybody to their whole thing this year is equal for equal, and you'll see our quote and photos going out in alignment with the overall organization. We do think there's real power in coalescing around what everyone else is doing. There'll be a huge synergy there. So you'll see us on social. You'll see a lot going on Sunday for sure. But in general, you know, for the month and that day, we're not doing anything different than what you know, we're falling in line with the other organizations. We do believe, obviously, that we celebrate all year long. In fact, yesterday we just tweeted out our first Tuesday tip day, our leadership tip, and we're tweeting out 90-second leadership videos from folks on topics. So quick hits.
Okay.
It's outstanding. Yesterday's was ATN Thomas, who's on our board. Fantastic. And so we've got a bunch of those lined up. And so, yeah, we got a lot of exciting things happening right now.
Yeah, that is exciting.
So thinking back here, Patty, so you said you've been with the organization for 10 years, and in that 10-year span, you have had to put together a business plan to essentially move it to Kansas City. You've gone through a rebrand. I mean, these are a couple huge things for an organization to take on. I know you're not one to just sit still. Is there anything different that you have coming up here that you're focusing on?
Yeah, actually, I'm glad you asked that. One of our big initiatives this year is really rolling out the launch of what we are calling our Women Leaders Performance Institute.
Okay.
And that is, you know, really creating a separate kind of programming for folks, corporate partners. We're doing a lot with pro leagues, particularly the NFL, and pro teams. We're actually going out to do some programming with the Arizona Diamondbacks this summer. So really, we're taking what we've learned from being in the leadership business for so many years. We're taking what we've learned from women that are working in a very male-dominated industry, and what are kind of the nuances and trainings on leadership. And so we've kind of packaged that, and it's under an arm called Women Leaders Performance Institute, really helping organizations and teams focus on how they can enhance performance for everybody on their team, which is super important. And when we feel like we have, you know, we talk about that we teach leadership for folks at all levels and all industries through the lens of sport. Mm-hmm. And so we are rolling that out. We have lots of programs lined up for that this year. And we got some information on that on our website as well under the leadership link. But yes, we're super excited about doing more of that now.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll make sure to put all these links of the different things that we've talked about today in our show notes, too, so
great.
All of our listeners can check that out as well. But
right.
Great.
I wanted to thank you so much, Patty. It's been a while since I've seen you in person, so I got to let you know when I'm in Kansas City here again, because I wasn't able to make it this
totally.
Past year. But
and Boston or bust. You both need to come out to Boston. Ooh. Come on. We'd love to see you there.
You know, okay. It is one of the few cities that I have not been to, like, because I've gone to a lot of different conventions over the last 13 years, but I've never been in Boston in my life.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, we'll have
time,
to change
my
that.
Friend.
Yeah.
And this will be a great one.
It could be a bucket list
item.
It'll
be a great one
to attend. There you go.
Well, thank you very much, Patty, for joining us today. We appreciate talking with you, and good luck on everything.
Thank you. And again, thanks so much for your longtime support. It means the world to us.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dectronics Experience Podcast. Please subscribe at your favorite place to listen to podcasts to keep up with our latest episodes.